Hi friend, do you have a business that is maybe a virtual or an online business, or you work out of your home and you need a mailing address? You want to look professional, you want to be professional, you maybe want to receive mail, but not at your personal address. You want that extra level of privacy? Well, consider getting a virtual mailbox through iPostal. iPostal is a company I've been working with and using for years. I personally have had multiple businesses with a virtual suite, and that's even cooler and more advanced than a PO box. So if you go to findyourflow.com/mailbox, you can learn all about the services that they offer. If you get faxes there, you can get physical products or packages mailed to that address and they will notify you. They can scan in your mail and you can look it up online, so you never have to leave your house to have your mail processed for your business. So really powerful stuff, really affordable for small businesses just getting started and scalable as your business grows. So go to findyourflow.com/mailbox to learn all about it. And until next time, my friend, be flowing.
Hello and welcome to the Find Your Flow Radio Show podcast. I am your host, Winston Wittes, and I am here today with a very special episode. Today's episode is Captain's Log, August 6th, 2022. Captain's Log, August 6th, 2022. It has been quite a while since I've recorded an episode. It is 11:15 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I'm in the backyard, and I hope the light on my phone turns off because it's pretty bright. I'm going to actually do a quick test and see if I can turn that off and keep recording at the same time. I believe that I can, but I want to test it because I don't like the light on. It appears to keep working. So I'm going to turn that light off, but first I'm going to do something now. I'm going to mark this episode as explicit, and I'm not going to necessarily talk about anything that's too crazy or explicit, but I am going to be talking about alcohol and tobacco, and if you're recovering or if you're sober and you don't want anything to do with that, I totally understand. So I just want to give you a heads up. I will be talking about those kind of things this evening or during this episode. And if you're good and you don't mind me talking about those kind of things, then you're here in the right place. But I just want to give a heads up. I'm not promoting it in any way, but I want to be honest and share my experiences. And those are going to be some of the topics discussed this evening. All right. So there we go. So first and foremost, I am out in the backyard on the back patio. I had an ant crawling on me, so I might not stay where I am, but I'm underneath the patio. But instead of sitting on the seats underneath the patio, I'm on the edge so I can look up at the stars, which is pretty magical and special. And there is a crescent moon, which I can kind of barely make out through the trees, which is also pretty magical and special. I'm talking quiet because it's late, everyone's asleep. I don't want to disturb my neighbors. I live in Texas, east of Dallas, about 45 minutes. And life is good. Life is really good. I'm very grateful to be here. There's a lot of good things I want to update you about and go through and experience. And podcasting is a way for me to do that. I'm basically talking to myself. I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to myself. And it's a good way for me to get out of my head a little bit, say things out loud, reflect, all that good stuff. So the first thing I'm going to do is I actually have my tobacco pipe here, and I'm going to light it using a lighter that I bought from Sean Dietrich. He's an artist that I met when I was promoting events back in San Diego through a fellow promoter, DJ, and music producer named Sugar, S-C-H-U-G-A-R. His real name, I'll just keep it at that because that's how I knew him and know him, and real good guy. And he had created a production company called The Infusion Project, and we promoted events together for a number of years in San Diego, California, which was really a special time in my life. It was a lot of fun. We did events with live artists doing paintings and pictures, I think ants are crawling on me. I might have to go sit somewhere else. I can't tell if I'm just tripping out now or if that's really happening. Let's turn on the light. It appears I'm just tripping out. Okay, so I'm good. So, so I'm going to light this tobacco pipe. So I'm using a lighter that is special. It's significant. It's a Sean Dietrich lighter with a woman that he does. I really like his style. Some of it's pretty dark, I'll be honest, but it's also real, and I appreciate it. And this particular lighter, I really love. It's a beautiful woman, redhead, with she's smoking a cigar after a battle. And this particular series of paintings that he did was commissioned by a World War II veteran, and I just appreciate the significance of that, especially this day and age and this time moment in time. So I'm going to go ahead and say Zippo. I'm going to light that and puff on that while I speak to you. So bear with me just a moment, please. Moment of just silence or reflection here. And the tobacco, tobacco that I'm puffing on this evening is tobacco that I got, oh gosh darn it, and the light just went on and it's super bright, but I can look and see if there's any ants, make sure it's not on me, but Bob, the dog, just triggered the motion distance sensor light. I don't like the light so much, it's pretty bright, they're sensitive eyes. The tobacco is Cherry Mystique, and I got it in Old Town San Diego. One of the last days I was there. I've lived in California my whole life. As I was recounting this story to some of my new friends out here in Texas, jiu-jitsu friends, one of the professors, a black belt, who I train under on primarily Thursday nights. He does no-gi, and I love no-gi, which means without the gi. And I like his style. We do stand up, which is nice. We do takedowns and very wrestling oriented type stuff, but also submissions. So it's good stuff. I like it a lot. And we were talking about he didn't know I was from California, and there was a couple guys that kind of overheard and people that kind of tuned in to listen to what I had to say about why and how we ended up out here in Texas, and that I am from California. I've lived in California my whole life. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, the San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks area. And then I lived in San Diego, moved down there about 12, 13, I think, and then finished like half of eighth grade out there, and then high school, and then junior college for a couple years, and then moved up to Northern California, lived in Berkeley for a year, lived in Oakland for a year, and then moved back down to San Diego because our family was out there. And so I was kind of sharing that with them, and yeah, I've been out here in Texas now for about 9 months, which is really crazy. It's flown by in some respects. In other respects, I miss my family. My wife definitely misses our family. It's been really hard on her. The kids miss our family, but they've adapted really well. So that's good. That's important. We moved out here. Big part of the reason was for them, for just our own personal beliefs and how we could best serve them and protect them to the best of our abilities. But it's hard when you're a kid, you know, but it's also wasn't so hard because there's kind of weird situations going on in Southern California. I don't know how much you are aware of what's going on, particularly in San Diego and with the schools there in San Diego. It's kind of unfathomable, especially living out here in Texas. We realize just how fortunate we are to be here, what a bubble we live in, and it wasn't by accident. We definitely moved out here for the purpose of getting away from what we were experiencing in Southern California. And one of the things that I really appreciate, and I know Elena really appreciates about us being out here, is there's a lot of things. One of the things I wanted to touch on, irrelevant, but the tobacco, before we left, one of the special things, moments Bradley and I had before we left, that's our oldest son, he was 9 or 10 when we left, and I guess he probably just turned 10, so it was about it's coming up on a year that we've lived here, which is crazy. The timelines are all crazy, you know. Perception of time for me has always been a challenge. I've never been fully in sync with a linear timeline, right? That's always been a challenge for me. My grandfather was always buying me watches growing up to help me get my head out of the clouds and into 3D linear time, right? And for some people, that's like, well, of course, right? Why? What else is there? And then for some of us, it's like, yeah, we know exactly what you're talking about, Winston. So the tobacco that I'm smoking, I dragged my kid into, a tobacco shop, I'm not gonna lie. It's Old Town San Diego. It's very old-timey and Western. It's like, that's the real West, the Old West. And that has a historic culture there. And it was pretty cool. We got to see some metal workers doing some metal work and chat them up and learn some history. That was really special and that was really cool. Learned how they do the wagon wheels and learned about the old covered wagons and this and that. And then went into the tobacco shop and it's just got this old vibe and smell. Like, the smell just took me back, like, I don't know, to a past life or what, but it was just like, it just hit me and it's like, man. And I had bought a tobacco pipe some months before that because I had felt very drawn to it. And Elena's grandfather, her opa, was a gypsy. He was a musician. Him and his sons made pianos. Furman. And then during World War II, they fled because they saw the writing on the wall. All of his brothers died in the Holocaust. He survived because they knew he could play piano. So he played piano to survive in the camps. And then he ended up in I'm going to get the history. It's a little fuzzy, but I actually published a book. My mother-in-law, that was her father, and then her mother was Dutch, and they ended up in camps, Nazi camps, but in Japan. So I don't know if you know much about that. Very few people do. I didn't know anything about that, and that's why I published a book about it, because I thought it was pretty cool. And she survived, but my mother-in-law's brother, he was born in concentration camp in Japan. And I don't, you know, I, if you listen to my show at all or know me at all, I'm a big fan of Japanese aesthetics and culture. I'm not an expert by any means, but I do appreciate the aspects I'm aware of. And, you know, of course, like many cultures, they have dark spots, right? And the camps there were not pleasant, right? And let's just leave it at that. And so, the tobacco I'm smoking reminds me of the day me and Bradley spent the day together. I was glad I took the day off work. You know, I'm somebody who's very dedicated to my work, my job, and it was good for me to take that day off and spend time with him, quality time. And I got three different flavors of tobacco while I was there, and I still am finishing those up now. I'm at the tail ends of them, and they're dried out a little bit. I managed to preserve them decently well, but they're a little bit dried, but I'm smoking one of them right now. And it's just, it brings me right back, you know. It's a powerful sensory reminder, and yet here we are, 9 months later, and I'm still in Texas, you know. It's surreal on a lot of levels, but it's also, it is what it is. And before we left, I'd never been to this part of Texas. I've been to Dallas for work, but never, like, we didn't see our home before we bought it. We bought it sight unseen, and we moved out here sight unseen to a place we had never been. Is that crazy? It's kind of crazy, right? What must somebody be experiencing or going through to do something like that? One might ask, right? One might imagine scenarios and experiences and emotions and fears and hopes and dreams that could put someone in a position to leave everything they know, their friends, their family, to a beautiful home in Southern California with a beautiful view and a hot tub, which is a huge thing for me, something I always want to have in all the homes. Growing up, we had hot tubs in different homes, and I spent a lot of time as a kid just chilling in the jacuzzi in the hot tub. And I knew that when I grew up. That was very important, high on my list, always on my dream boards, is a sweet hot tub. And we had that, and it overlooked a beautiful, if you're familiar with La Mesa, California, San Diego, East County, San Diego, we had a beautiful view of Helix Mountain, which has this big cross at the top, and it's very scenic and beautiful lights at night, and, you know, gorgeous. We had that, and we left it. Why? Well, I don't, you know, it's crazy, friend. There's so many levels to it, so many levels. And growing up in San Diego, growing up in Southern California, many of us, myself, I would say for sure, and my wife and many of us that I know, I think we thought that we were fairly open-minded and loving and accepting. And then at a certain point in recent history, that kind of changed, where it's like, oh, people are open and loving and accepting as long as it's in alignment with their very specific belief system. And that, unfortunately, we were not within that narrow spectrum of belief systems, and it changed dynamics between friends and family. And suddenly people weren't hearing what we were really saying anymore. They had this idea about what we were saying that wasn't entirely accurate, but we couldn't break through the noise or the clutter to have them really hear what we were experiencing and going through. And it was very sad and heartbreaking, really and truly heartbreaking. And yet it is this lifetime, and this is the experience of many people at this time, and you are not alone if you are experiencing this. And it is not entirely unique, because these patterns, if you're, I recognize patterns for better or for worse, and for me these patterns became evident pretty early on in this cycle of what I'm describing in a roundabout way. And the moon is gorgeous. I can make it out through the leaves. It's very bright and sparkly and freaking gorgeous, and I can see a star from where I'm sitting. Two stars, several stars, or stars in the sky. It's beautiful. No real light pollution out here, which is amazing, and I really appreciate. And no neighbors across the way looking in to my space from apartments across the way, like I had in this house that now sells for probably, that's now worth probably $1 million in San Diego that we left, which is insane. It's insane, the inflation. Or a recession, but we don't use that word. It's not a recession, because we change, because it's 1984, and we can change the meaning of things, and suddenly we can change things based on the way we feel, and reality is fluid. J.P. Sears, if you follow him or are aware of him, he's a fascinating person. Really respect and appreciate what he's been doing, and I've seen him make a pretty amazing transition and be pretty open about it, and I really respect and appreciate that. And one of the projects I'm working on in the background here that I don't want to get too into, because I don't want to be, if you know, in past updates, or I used to call them updates, but now I call them captain's logs, I would sometimes tell you about things that I'm excited about or working on, and then it would take me so much time to actually get it done, and there would be this gap or this delay. And so I try not to do that too much, but, you know, just I'm excited, and it's like, here's what's going on. And I think I've already told you probably, so I guess it's fine, but I'll just, yeah, what the heck. I try to keep it secret, but I'm also excited, so I'm trying not to overhype it, because I don't want to put that energy out there, but it's also, it is what it is. So let me take a sip of this drink. And what it is, so I don't agree with everything. So cable's pretty much dead, right? Like, it's still out there, but it's decrepit and old and, like, expensive and lame. And pretty much most people, or many people, have discovered streaming type entertainment, through their TV. Now, YouTube's awesome. I love YouTube. I learn a lot of cool stuff on YouTube. My youngest, he wakes up freaking early. The kid's up early, and he watches what we call weird stuff on YouTube. But we try to put a stop to it, so we don't want him watching weird stuff on YouTube. Like, he watches these things, and we catch him, and it's like, dude, what are you watching? Like, and he's watching, like, you know, people playing video games, but it's like older people saying, and they're saying things that are inappropriate for a little freaking 5-year-old to watch. So we're like, dude, you can't watch this stuff, right? But it's Minecraft, so it looks like it's for kids, but it's really not, right? So we're constantly trying to, like, monitor that situation. But then he watches pretty educational, cool stuff, so we're okay with that. So it's like, okay, how do we get him the stuff that we feel safe with? And one thing I felt very called to do is create that content, or not me personally, but to curate that content. I'm an aggregator. That's something I've been able to do successfully in different realms throughout my life, and I recognize that pattern, and I feel called to do that for video entertainment, right? And so I saw this ad, and I was like, oh man, it was about, like, okay, have your own Netflix type app, right, on TV. And people watch a lot more TV than they do watch YouTube. YouTube's huge. It's hugely successful, right? And there's tons of people on it. And yet, people still generally watch way more television than they do YouTube. So it's like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. And so it's like, well, how could I have my own Netflix type of show or type of app, and have my own shows on it that I could curate that would be positive and flowing and awesome, and that I would feel safe, like, letting my kids watch? Bob's running off. He must see a rabbit or squirrel or something over there. And, oh, one night I was out here and I saw fireflies, real fireflies. I didn't know those were a real thing. I thought that was only at Disneyland with, like, the little light bulbs that flicker on and off on, like, Pirates of the Caribbean kind of thing. And I saw them one night, and it's just like, was that a real fire? Like, wow. So that's a real thing. I haven't seen them in a while now, but I haven't been outside in a while. This is one of the, I was out the other night, last night, and it was really cool. So our where we are is really quiet, which is beautiful. I appreciate the quietness and the nature, and there's seasons, which we've heard before, like, oh, there's, you know, four seasons in this place or that place. But living in Southern California, it's like, you can imagine what that is. It's like, oh, they get snow, how cool. Oh, they get this, how cool. But it's like, now that we live in a place where there's kind of more of a reality of four seasons, it's like, oh, wow, the trees, they actually lose their leaves. Oh, who's going to pick them up? Oh, that's me. I have to clean up those leaves. Oh, I have to, and now I mow my own lawn, right? Like, we in California, Southern California especially, it's like, it was always a drought. So it's like, it's cool to just let your lawn die. Like, everybody's doing it, right? Like, if you have a green lawn, like, you're a jerk because you're wasting water. So you just let that stuff die. And maybe you have a patch in the back, and, like, we had a gardener, right? So it's like, I stopped doing yard work years ago. So now I've got this huge yard that's like three times the size, probably way more than that, actually. Easily way more than that. Probably like freaking easily 5 times, 10 times the size of the little lawn we had in San Diego. And it's beautiful. I'm not complaining. I freaking love it. But it takes me a couple hours to do the yard work on the weekends, right? I haven't had to lately because it's been so hot and it hasn't rained that all the lawn is kind of dead now, which I'm okay with. Because now I don't have to mow it. Plus, it's too hot to mow. But tomorrow I actually do have to mow it because the leaves are falling off now. So what do we do about the leaves? If I just let them be there, they blow into my neighbor's yard. And that's not cool. Plus, I'm trying to build a mulch thing. Compost pile. And so I'm going to make the leaves. I'm going to just vacuum them up with the mower and add that to all the bio stuff that I've been saving up and try to turn that into mulch and get the gardening. I got the hydroponics and we're getting our seedlings going, and some of them have died because I didn't transplant them, but that's the next mission, like, figure out how to transplant stuff. Grow food, friend. That's what I'm trying to say. Grow a victory garden. The food won the war in World War II. Okay, so it's important. It's really important. And I try not to preach on this. Dang it, Bob just triggered the freaking light. It's super bright. Guy. Have a drink. And okay, hi Bob, Hi, Mush Face Bomb. You big mushy face boy. Love you. So I finished my drinks just now. I'm going to light up this tobacco pipe. Bear with me, friend. Excuse me. So I've been drinking Grey Goose vodka with a little splash of lemonade. And the tobacco is Cherry Mystique. And it's pretty nice out. It's warm out. It's beautiful, but it's not too hot. And I love my lighter. I look at the beautiful painting, the artwork on it. Makes me feel happy. Hi, Bob. Oh my gosh. I got this mushy faced dog here. He's such a beautiful friend. I love you so much, Bob. We had to put down our cat. 21 years we had our cat Bella. Rest in peace. I buried her in the backyard. Elaine and I, when we were dating and we moved back to San Diego, you know, this thing called a tamper. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it's like to push down the ashes and the tobacco pipe to push it back. And it really is tobacco. I'm not being like coy with that or cool or whatever. Like, I used to smoke herb all the time, friend, since I was 18, 17. So, just so we're on the same page, I lived in California. It was in my blood, for real, for real. And I'm now 9 months clean from that, and I'm proud of that. I am proud of that. I'm happy. People say it's not addictive. For me, it was very addictive. It was all or nothing, okay? And I was very high functioning, so I got everything done, and I'm very less productive nowadays, to be honest. I learned from productive, very productive entrepreneurs how to live that vibe, and so I'm not downplaying it at all. If I had it, if it was legal, and it has been decriminalized at the federal level, but at the state level, I just don't want to mess with it. I'm glad it's out of my system. The first 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks to get off of it for me, it's a nightmare. It's many nightmares, weeks of nightmares, physical and mental and real nightmares at night, waking up and having trouble sleeping, first of all, and then in and out of the body type nightmares, sleep paralysis type nightmares, interdimensional type nightmares and challenges with all that. So the shift of moving physically out of the place I was in to a new place, not having it, getting rid of all of it, all the accessories and everything, was kind of basically what I would have needed to do that, right? And it's very much my family, very much my bloodline and history and experience. And I would stay up all night doing it. It helped me to stay up all night and work all night and be productive in a sense. And honestly, I haven't been able to do that without it. So it is what it is. On the other hand, I sleep more, which is theoretically better for my physical health. And I'm more emotionally stable, according to Elena, which is good. And I do believe her. I feel like that's probably true, because if I didn't have it, I was like, I had to measure my time by my ability to know when I could and could not have it and be on it. And so that is a limiting factor. Fortunately, I had developed and created a life that enabled me to do it very efficiently and effectively. So, but now in this stage of life, I'm glad to not have it and not be on it. And I will probably ride this vibe for the foreseeable future. I smoked for many years using water filtration. And then when my mom passed away and I inherited some money from her. The first thing I did, I didn't spend much of the money. I didn't inherit a ton, but I inherited some. And my mom died of cancer. I'm not a doctor. She believed, I should say, and that it was from having a cell phone attached to her head 24/7. She was always on the damn phone, and she had brain cancer on the side where she had her phone all the damn time. So make of that whatever you will. So I encourage you to not have a phone near you. Not that, again, that I'm any kind of expert. This is just purely theoretical free speech, which I believe in and that I support and I will fight and die for, friend, right? And partly of moving to Texas is that I believe other people here are much more open-minded and supportive of free speech and differing opinions than us in California, who believe that we're so open and loving and friendly. And I gotta tell my California friends, like, for me, having these last 2.5-3 years, whatever, however freaking long we're on this insane timeline of world whatever, like, Texas is way more open and liberated in that sense and accepting and friendly than us Southern Californians, like, for real. And that's crazy and hard to comprehend, but it is. People here, yeah, it's a different vibe, and I dig it, and I'm thankful to be here. God bless Texas. God bless America. So I drank all my drink. So we have a mini fridge, which is freaking cool. It's out here on the back patio. Got some beers in it, some IPAs, and since it's Saturday night and I'm feeling pretty cool, I might actually bust open a beer. Oops. Sorry. Dropped the microphone. Trying to do too many things. Normally I have my little, so the texture of the audio might be different, because when I do the podcast for many, many episodes, I had a Bluetooth microphone plugged into my head, which I hated because I could feel the radiation coming off it, but I did it anyway, partly because for a number of years I was recording episodes while I was driving to and from work. I was commuting and I recognized the risks and I did it anyway, but I knew that it was temporary, so I did it anyway. And I was gonna actually do it tonight, but I hadn't charged my microphone because I haven't used it in a long time, so I haven't podcasted in a long time. But now I'm just holding the phone, not close to me. I'm using the microphone away from me, so I don't know if the levels are good, but I'm whispering because it's the middle of the night, and I'm out here podcasting under the moonlight through the trees, looking at the stars with some beautiful trees. And we have these lights that are solar-powered lights, and we have this big fence in the back, like a wrought iron, I guess you could say, wrought iron fence that I can see through, and I can see, you know, it's dark, so I can only see so much, but there's these beautiful trees in the backyard, which I freaking love it. Like, I feel so blessed to be here, because I really desperately needed to be near nature. And we lived, like I said, in this beautiful part. San Diego is beautiful, right? And at the same time, like, I didn't have nature, and it was 45 minutes to get to, like, nature, in a sense, of Palomar Mountain, for example, or the beach, which for a lot of people is great. People love the beach. I like the beach, but there's just too many people. Like, I can't, I mean, I used to surf. I surfed for many years, and it was great. But as I got, I don't know, at some point, like, it stopped being great. Like, I stopped enjoying it. The surfing itself was great, but, like, everything that went along with it, maybe I'm just old and cranky, and Elena tells me that all the time, like, I'm a grumpy old man, and I'm 42 or 43, I don't know exactly, I don't want to do the math, I freaking don't care anymore, like, I mean, I am freaking old and cranky, like, I'm an old cranky man, like, I'll be honest, friend, I am, like, and Elena makes fun of me, because, like, I sit in the back patio, smoke my pipe, and just be cranky. So here we are. We have this barn. We have a freaking barn in our backyard, friend. Like, I'm looking at it right now from my back patio. This is a little barn. I got a freaking mower in there. I got a freaking machete. I got an axe. I got a chainsaw. Like, I have power tools. Got this big yard. Bob's running off to go chase some freaking rabbit or squirrel or who knows what. In the backyard, I buried our cat of 21 years. When Elena and I moved back to San Diego, we lived in this tiny little apartment. My mom had, like, apartments were really hard to come by, right? So we're like, my mom was helping us out to find us a place to move into, because we were moving from Northern California back to San Diego. She found this place, and wait, was that place, or was that the previous place? I think it was that place. No, it wasn't that place. No, it was the second place we lived. Okay, so we moved to this place in San Diego on the street next to the sports arena in San Diego. Or now it's called, like, I don't even know what it's called now, but basically it's like the sports arena. And we lived right by it. And behind our little apartment, it's this little two-bedroom apartment, was Target. And they used to get, you know, how are we to know until you move in? It's like you already signed a lease, right? And it's like, oh, at 5 freaking a.m. on Saturday, your day off when you're hoping to sleep in, oh, no, they take deliveries. And so the freaking trucks would back into the loading dock right behind us at 5 a.m. on freaking the weekends to unload their stuff and, like, cause all this freaking, like, you know, chaos in the backyard. We didn't have a backyard, we had a back patio, but it's like right behind our bedroom window, so it's awesome. So anyway, we had a 6-month lease. We got married during that time. We'd been together for a few years by that point. And so we just got married, and we're like, okay, we can't stay at this place. This is too much. And Elena's mom was helping us get a condo, and so we were moving out. But before we moved, Bob just triggered the freaking light again. Dang it, Bob. So bright. What? Mushy face, Bob. I love you. What's your mushy face? I got a nibble on his fuzzy ears. He's here. He comes back over. Like, when I complain, he hears me complain. He comes over to say sorry. But the light's still right in my freaking eyes. But he's so mushy and squishy, I can't. Bob's a yellow lab. He's a rescue Bob. He's a yellow German Shepherd lab Bob of a dog. And he was deathly ill recently. And we were, you know, the doctor's like, you know, you could spend this money and could just be thousands and thousands of dollars because we don't know what to do and we can't help him. Or, you know, he could have this one disease. And that would be actually, like, the good thing, because we can kind of treat that. And so we're like, oh, here we go. You know, we'd spent thousands of dollars with one of our other dogs, and it's like, we didn't want to go down that road again. You know, we're not a spot where we feel like we want to do that, you know. And Bella was good. She'd had kidney problems, but we've been giving her special kidney food, which is freaking expensive, and her special kidney medicine, and she's overweight. She was an overweight girl for a lot of years. But so before we moved from that condo, it was like the last month that we were there, and I was out in the back little patio, and I hear this, like, these sounds. I was like, what the heck is that? And I look behind the fence, and it's like those fences where it's like, there's 6 inches in between the fence, you know, there's like two fences back to back sandwich, and there's like 6 inches in between. I look down in there, and there's all these kittens and this cat. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's kittens and a cat living in our backyard. And they looked like they're all meow, meow, you know, they're all hungry. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I don't remember how I got them out of there, but somehow I managed to, like, persuade them all to come into our little, and, you know, there was no pets allowed in our thing, but I was like, I can't let these little cats starve, right? So I managed to, like, get them all into our back little patio thing. And so it was like 6 kittens and the mama cat. And Elena, when, you know, we're like, oh, we're feeding them. And then Elena picked up this one little cat, and it bit the snot out of her finger. Like, it bit her so hard. And this is, we talk about this, like, you know, as a core memory. This little kitten bit her so freaking hard that it's like she could feel it was like quivering with all its might. It bit the heck out of her finger and, you know, like, touched the bone of her finger with its little needle sharp teeth. and she screamed and flung the kitten up into like the ceiling of our back patio, and it was fine, you know, it was fine, but it was just like Elena was traumatized, and it really hurt, of course, because it really hurts to have something like that happen. And we were able to find homes for all the kittens. We ended up keeping the mama cat. That was Bella. We named Bella. And so that was 21 years ago. She'd already had a litter, or possibly two, because they didn't know exactly how old she was, the vet. But we kept her. We got her all vaxxed and all that. And she's been our girl. She's been our kitten cat for the last 21 years. And we just put her down about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. And I buried her in the backyard. And so I was very sad. So moan of silence for Bella. Thank you. So she was a really good cat. She was the sweetest, like, dang, Bob, with the freaking light, dude. Dang it. I need to figure out how to turn off that stupid light. I freaking hate it sometimes. Okay. So. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pause it. Oh, it's 11:55. So I might sit for like a half hour. So I'm going to go take a bathroom break. And then I'm going to grab myself a drink out of the mini fridge, because it's freaking cool, because I have a mini fridge. That's pretty next level, in my opinion. And we'll resume. So I'm going to pause it. It should only seem like a second to you, but I'm going to time travel. This is going to be freaking cool, okay? Are you ready for this, friend? First, I got to make sure we're still recording. I'm not just talking to myself. We're 40 minutes deep into this. Let's do it. All right, pause. And we're back. And so that was 6 minutes for me, maybe a split second for you. I've used the restroom. I've poured myself a Sierra Nevada Snow Day IPA or something like that. And packed myself a bowl of Dr. Charlie's tobacco. And that's this tobacco flavor for me is the quintessential. Like when I... Oh, so Elena's Opa, which is grandpa in a number of languages, and for her grandpa, he's he was a gypsy, but he was from it'll come to me, but it I almost had it, because my great-grandpa might have also been from that area, and so that was kind of interesting. But anyway, I kind of felt a connection to him, but I also felt a connection to the Old West. I've felt that for a long time, like some kind of deep connection to that. And when we were in Old Town, and I, you know, I'd had this feeling, like he smoked a pipe, Elena's Opa, and I kind of felt like his energy, and I felt the Old West energy. And then when I first went into the tobacco shop there in Old Town San Diego, they lit up tobacco, and the gentleman there smoking pipes, and it was just like, man, I just felt that vibe so hard, just the Old West vibe, and the smell freaking took me there. And I was like, yep, I'm doing this. I bought myself a tobacco pipe, and you know, the gentleman let me smell the different tobaccos, and the one that just freaking was like, dude, this is it. Like, it just hit me was this one called Dr. Charlie, and it's this mix, and I just finished it. This is the last bowl I have right here of that from San Diego, and I'll probably reorder it soon. But it's just like the quintessential pipe smoke smell for me, and I didn't even know that I liked that or had that until it happened, and it just gets me there. And then that also made me think of like the instantaneous mind flow trance that I got when I saw my dream car up close and personal for the first time. And that car is a Chrysler 300C black, and I'd had it on my dream board for years, and when I finally was at the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to make the move, I'm going to get one, I saw one for sale. I went and saw it in person. Bradley was a little dude, I think he was like 4, and I had the money, and it was in my price range, and this one had been totaled, but the dude was a flipper, you know, he flipped cars, fixed them up, and resold them, and this one was like freaking cherry from what I could tell, and I saw it up close. I'd never really like looked up close, and it was black, and it had chrome wheels, and I was like, dude, this thing is freaking sick, and it has sparkle black paint, and I didn't know it was sparkle black paint, so I'd never seen one up close, and the way the sun glistened off the freaking paint, it just instantly trance for me, just like deep, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, I have to have this car. And so traded in my station wagon, my Ford station wagon, which I loved because I did a lot of gigs as a DJ, as a musician in that car, and I transported 1 year, I had 3 gigs in the same night, or yeah, like 2 gigs but 3 different areas, so I had 3 different sound systems in my car, in my little station wagon, and in the same night for this New Year's, two different New Year's parties. It was freaking crazy. It was, but the amount of sound systems and equipment I was able to jam into that thing was pretty incredible. And we got great gas mileage. And I used to do music lessons all across San Diego, so I'd drive like 100 miles a day throughout the county just doing private music lessons, and then I would do gigs on the weekends. And then when I had the opportunity to get my dream car, you know, I knew I wasn't gonna be able to carry that much sound systems anymore, but I'd kind of whittled it down, my routine and like what I was doing to, and I figured Elena, she saw it kind of like an SUV, so it's like, okay, if I got a big show and I need the big speakers, I can use her car. So I still have that car. Unfortunately, I've let the paint get freaking ruined by the California sun, and so the hood's all jacked, but I just got a quote and it's affordable. So then the next month or two, I'll be able to get that back up to cherry paint. I hope. I think the guy will do a good job. I trust him. He's a legit dude and it's affordable. And so I'm stoked because it's a beautiful car and it's my dream car. And I'm, like I said, early 40s and I have my dream car. I don't need some beyond that fancy car. It drives clean and it's quiet, which is important to me, and smooth. What more can I ask for? That's about it. So, I'm going to try. Yeah. All right. Oh, so the project, the TV. Yeah, I'm on this mission where I invested in being able to produce TV channels for what's called connected TV. The Finder Flow TV. So if you go into Roku, I have a Finder Flow TV channel. I do not yet have it on Amazon because that's really expensive to produce that. And then there's other platforms such as Apple TV and the Google Play platform, and then like Philips TV. There's like some other ones. Basically, like those all, to get on each one of those costs money, and then to maintain it costs money, and it's like significant money, right? It's like thousands of dollars a month kind of thing, like when you start adding all these in, and it's thousands of dollars to get it going and then thousands of dollars a month to maintain. So I've been really researching this and figuring out like how could I really do this and not put myself in a lot of stress, and I figured it out. But now I'm invested in it, and now I gotta fulfill, like, how do I pay this off, right? And so that's where I'm at, and I've got this list of people that I'm gonna reach out to, because I don't want to make all the content myself. Nobody wants to just hear me all the time, see all my shows, and I want cool entertainment from other people that are positive and experts in their own thing. That's the beauty of this. That's how I scale, right? So I've been building this list the last couple days and getting my TV network put together, and building Find Your Flow, rebuilding findyourflow.com. That's exciting. That's been a new thing because I had to update all that, and that of course costs money for, well, what website builder am I using, what's the framework, what's the, how do I optimize it, and blah 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 blah. So that's been a lot of time, a lot of energy, but I'm very excited. It's looking pretty sweet, pretty flowing. Oh, the other big thing, and this is something I've kept very under wraps for a number of reasons, but it's getting closer to where I can talk openly about it. But I'm not 100% there, so I'm going to beat around the bush a bit. But I did have what would appear to be a decent victory in the realm of well, let's just say, like, with Find Your Flow, like, the epiphany of flow and flow states came to me 1999, New Year's Eve 2000, and I didn't have the phrase Find Your Flow until later, but when it came to me, I pursued it aggressively, even though I didn't have the money to do that, but I felt called by my higher power, by the epiphany that I had, by my inner intuition and all that good stuff, to really, like, this is it. This is the direction I'm going. This is the next step. And so I pursued it aggressively. And with that, it's been this dance of building with promoting it to a degree, but not promoting it to a degree where I would attract unwanted attention until I'm protected and until I can go full steam ahead. Because it's a pretty grand, large, lofty vision. And yet there are these three-dimensional earth realities of financial and legal situations which require careful navigation that I am in a way uniquely positioned to navigate, and such that I have slowly rolled out what I'm doing to only those who are on the cutting edge of this consciousness and understanding, which is you, friend, if you are listening to this within any linear closeness to the production and publication of this particular episode. So again, this is August, I forgot the date, 6th, maybe 7th now, I guess, 2022. So the sooner you listen to this, the more cutting edge you are, in my perspective, of this level of flow and information of what I'm sharing. And in the future, I believe that more and more people will be listening to this, and it will be looking back on the past of where I was before I was able to go full mainstream promotion of this. So I keep it low key, but I'm documenting it for the sake of those who are perhaps trying to gain, or just for any number of reasons, anybody that wants to go back and listen to past episodes, anybody who's listening from episode one all the way through, people are just picking through different episodes, whatever, and being divinely guided to this episode at the right time for them or for you. And then for those that are cutting edge and here now or soon within the time of me posting this, there has been recent victories in the protection of what I'm building, and that's exciting. I'm not 100% of the way there. I have had what I might consider a setback in this realm as well, but with that, I can say it is what it is, and I'm forging forward, and I'll drink to that. And I like IPA. And I went to, Elaine and I went on a date. We went to go buy guns, actually. My goal today was to buy guns. And we got to the place and they were close. So, but we found this cool little new town that we had never been to. And it was pretty quaint and cool. And so we bought some coffee at this place. I've never seen in like 20 years a place so reasonably priced to sell coffee. I got a cup of coffee. Like, I guess I could maybe buy coffee this cheap at like a 7-Eleven. I don't know. I don't buy coffee at 7-Eleven. But I bought a 12-ounce coffee for $2.50, which for me was like really cool. Because there's a cute little coffee shop on this cute little strip of like neat little shops. It was just this tiny little strip. And then we went to this place called Girlfriends, which is this little boutique. It's a little boutique, like, you know, purses and women knickknacks and whatnot, right? And, yeah, I was there with Elena, and so she was excited. And the lady and her daughter were, you know, it's part of their shop, and it was very cute. It was really nice. And, you know, the lady's like, oh, well, how'd she drag you out here and did all this? And I was like, actually, I was trying to drag her out to buy some guns, and they were closed, so we ended up here. And we're drinking our coffee from this other place across the street where it was very reasonably priced, and it was just like, man, this is freaking cool. What else? Oh, it's really nice and quiet. I can hear the crickets, the seasons, right? So it's warm right now. And there was a time where there was like the fireflies, and then there was a time where there's cicadas. Cicadas are these bugs, these insects maybe, and they like make this insane sound. And it took me weeks to figure out that it was cicadas. Like, I was looking for the birds, because there's beautiful birds out here too that were new to me, like cardinals, which I'd never seen in real life. And they fly in our backyard, and they're freaking gorgeous, and they're so friendly and happy and beautiful. And I was so excited to see them. And, you know, I'm always on the lookout for them. And then there's beautiful blue jays, and there's like amazing hawks that fly through our backyard. And there's a creek in our back, behind our, in like our back backyard. And I call the back backyard the part outside of our back fence. I can see it through the fence, but it's not within the fence. And then just the nature is amazing. Like, the wind blows through these trees. The wind here gets freaking scary, though, for us folk that are not accustomed to, like, weather, you know, other than 70 degrees consistent year-round. It's, the wind scares me, honestly. Like, it's intense sometimes. Fortunately, it's been mellow this time of year or now. But there's a little bit of breeze here and there right now. So I'm listening to it go through the leaves, and I can hear a bird chirp here or there kind of thing, and there's a little cricket in the background. But the cicadas were like, they make this crazy sound that sounds like, there's the part at the end where they tail off that sounds like it's like static. Like, it sounds electrical, or like, it's insane. It's so freaking loud. And I was like, you can kind of pinpoint where they are in the tree, and I've been like looking, I was looking for him, like, where the heck is that bird? Like, what the heck's this bird look like? And I was trying to track him down for like weeks looking for these guys. And then one day, like, Ethan, our youngest, we were at gymnastics, and I like tracked it down to this tree. Like, we got there early, and we're in the parking lot, and like, I know we look like freaking nuts, because I'm like this California dude, like, looking up in the freaking trees with my kid. And people are just like, what's this guy doing? Like, I got to see this freaking bird. Like, what's this guy look like? What kind of bird is this that makes this insane sound? And then Ethan, like, finds this bug, this shell of a bug. It's like the exoskeleton of this freaking insect. And it's like, dude, it's an insect. And so I look at, like, I finally have the idea, like, oh, why not look it up on the internet? Like, what kind of insect makes this freaking loud sound in northern Texas? It's like, oh, cicadas. It's like, oh, that's what these are. These are freaking cicadas. So it's like they talk to each other through the trees. And so that was going on for like a month. And that was amazing, because like, they just sound like, it sounds crazy, but after a while, it's just like, oh, it sounds beautiful. It's so cool. And so that, but then now they stopped. So now it's like pretty quiet, except for me out here podcasting, and hopefully nobody else can hear me. But I love it. I love it, friend. Like, I like the changes and we had a little bit of snow or hail or whatever in the winter when we moved out here, and that's apparent on the light just kicked on freaking A, and but it is really neat. And so now we're in the summer. They're saying it's unusually hot, and it has been crazy hot, like hundreds plus for weeks and weeks. And Elena, it's been making her pretty depressed because she can't go outside in this kind of heat, and she likes to walk and, excuse me, get the kids out of the house and all that. And, she, you know, that really makes her miss San Diego, and, you know, so that's been pretty tough. But, excuse me again. And then, what time is it? 12:19. All right, August 7th, Sunday. So I'm definitely going to mow the lawn today when I wake up, and then what else is important? Yeah, the website update, finderflow.com. Check that out when you get a chance. I'm pretty excited. It's not done. It's not done, but hopefully I'll have it done soon. The TV show, that's not done either, but I'm going to start recruiting shows for that. So if you are on Roku, if you have the if you can find the Finding Flow app, please download it. Give it 5 stars. I definitely appreciate. Oh, I launched a book recently, which is a first book not in the Finding Flow series. It is called Heart Health, or How to Heal Your Heart Naturally. No, How to Heal Heart Disease Naturally. It's the name of it. I did it with Dr. Loy. L-O-Y. So that was pretty cool. Stoked on that. And what else? Oh, there was a party next door last night when I was out here. And that was kind of cool because it was like the noisiest thing that had been going on. And although it was loud and crazy, it was like, it sounded like maybe 2 couples, maybe 3 couples. And they were like just, they had this, they must have been like watching TV or a movie, I think, outside. And blasting it. And it's like they sound drunk as heck. And just having fun, you know. And it was actually pretty cool. Like, as much as I love the silence and I love the nature, I really enjoy the nature and the animals. I like hearing the raccoons crawl around back there and the squirrels or the birds and the cicadas or whatever. It was cool to hear, like, some young people just freaking being reckless and partying. Like, it made me feel old. Because it's like, I remember back in the day when I used to do that. Like, I started thinking about all the different, or some of the different, you know, experiences I had growing up and partying, and like partying at some of our friends' houses, and when there's girls there, and before, you know, I had a girlfriend, and like all, you know, just different experiences. Man, and the other night at jiu-jitsu, we did this one takedown, and we did this takedown that it's not a very common one in jiu-jitsu, but in wrestling it was. And I haven't experienced, so my training partner and I, it's like this takedown where you do what my coach, Coach Takahashi, rest in peace, used to call a head snap. And so it's like you snap the person down, you grab what's called a chin strap, and you circle around and then get the person in a cradle and like kind of smash them, go to the side and smash them. And I haven't had that done to me since high school. And so my partner was doing that to me. And it was like, it just brought back in crazy high school feelings of like being smashed in this position. And that was pretty intense. It was cool. And it's a good takedown. It's effective. But yeah, just memories. Memories. I'm going to have a sip of my drink. And here we are. It's quiet. It's beautiful. I don't want to ramble on too much longer, but I really appreciate you, friend. It's been a long time. And I'm glad to be here. What else? Anything else important before we wrap it up? We have a hot tub that's an inflatable one. Remember I told you hot tubs were like really important to me? I really like the water and being able to just soak in the water. Man, it'd be crazy if I went in right now. I haven't been in by myself. I've been going in with Ethan, our little man. He's 5, and love him to death. The kid is non-stop, non-freaking-stop. And like, even, you know, in the, it's like we call it the pool when he's in it, because it's, I don't have the heater on or anything, but it's just so hot that the water is like 90 something degrees. Oh, the freaking light. The wind sets the tree into motion, which turns on the light. It's like, dang it. And, but it's not calm. It's not by any means relaxing when I'm in there with him. Like, he's, you know, scuba diving and diving for rings and like, oh, like we got to do the boat. Like, you know, the whole boat he made, this project. And so it's like, it's not relaxing. And I'm trying not to be an old cranky man friend. I am. But it's like, I am. Yeah, you know, what can I do? Like, I am. I try not to be, but it is what it is. So it's but it's special. I appreciate those times. I really do. And I am present in the moment. I appreciate it. And I'm thankful for it. So I'm not complaining, mind you. I'm also just an old cranky man who wants it to be calm. And this is my calm time. Like, everybody else is asleep. I'm alone. I'm sharing my thoughts with you. If you're still here listening after all this, like, you're a freaking gem, friend. Like, who does that? You do. You're amazing. I appreciate you. Because I'm reading also How to Win Friends and Influence People, which I've read before on several occasions, but here I am reading it again. You know, it's my mom's book. She used to read a lot of self-help books, and I actually found a second copy in it. So she had two copies of the book. But I'm rereading that, and one of the things is, like, you know, if you want to win friends, first remember their name, say their name, use their name. The moon's actually getting lower in the sky, which is interesting. And then you listen intently, because most people don't listen. They're waiting to speak, right? And you talk about things or ask them about things even better that they are interested in. Right? Figure out what they're interested in. Ask them. Let them talk about it. And you listen. And they actually like you and think you're awesome and a great conversationalist. And that is true in my experience as a professional who has spoken to thousands, tens of thousands, probably done well over 100,000 calls in my life as a professional salesperson and marketer. That is true. People like to talk about what they like to talk about, right? And if you're good at listening, and I'm not just saying like you're like faking it, you know, you're really like listen with the true intention of not just jumping in with your own things you want to say. That true ability to listen with real intent and genuine interest is one of the most powerful skills you could develop, right? And that's why I feel like people, and I'm biased, but I'm going to say it anyway, people listen to this podcast, like, you're a freaking gem, right? Because I don't say this to the stuff I share here, I don't share in regular real life, generally speaking. Maybe bits and pieces here or there, but very rarely, because this is my deepest, darkest, not darkest, but my thoughts that I'm talking to myself. I'm out here by myself in the middle of the night talking into a microphone. Who knows if anybody's listening? I mean, I know now that people are listening. I know because I can track it. But I've been doing this for a number of years. And when I started, nobody was listening. And the freaking light pops on. It's okay. I think I'm going to go into the pool/hot tub. It's inflatable. It's small. So this isn't our forever home. Elena wants to move. She's wanted to move since we got here, in a sense. We called this the good place when we first got here because it's like, have you seen that show, The Good Place? Like, we loved that show. We watched all of it. I think it was really brilliant, funny, cute. Like, it's a good show, you know, clean for the most part. I don't think they cut on. They don't cuss. And if you watch it, you'll see why. It's really good. It's clever. I enjoyed it. Elaine and I loved it. We binged it when we first moved here. And we're like, this is the good place. We found the good place. And then she went through the darkness. And that's part of life, too. She fell back into the darkness. She'd been in the darkness, what I call the darkness. When we were in San Diego, it got really dark. It got really bad on a lot of levels. And that was one of the reasons we had to get out of there. It was literally, in my opinion, life or death for her. And I had to prepare for that because I've been through that before in 2014. And as much as I've learned to be an optimist in my life, I haven't always been, friend. I wasn't always. But that's something I learned back in the early or late 90s, how to be an optimist, how to create my reality, how to work with reality and perspective and shift it and all that good stuff. And but it only goes so far in a sense, right? Like I can fake it to make it, but there's also the physical 3D reality, and there's one could be out of touch with that. And that's what we would call a crazy person from the perspective of being in the 3D reality, grounded in that perspective, right? We could look at somebody who's living in some other perspective and say that person's out of touch. They're crazy. They have multiple personalities, schizophrenic, right? Or whatever, or crazy. So there's that. So for me, experiencing what I went through in 2014 with her health, mental health and physical health and all of that, certain things became very physically and very real within that reality. I had to face them, and they were not pleasant things. And I could fake it only so far before it was like, I can't fake it anymore, right? Like, these are real things that I have to address in my life, in my reality, and possibilities directions, I guess. It's not quite the word, but the directions of things going and potential realities that could play out, and they were not pleasant, and they were not optimal for me from my perspective at that time. But having survived them and become stronger because of them, it put me in a position where, on the one hand, yes, it was traumatic and it affected me deeply, and I carry those scars to this day, and I am stronger because of those things, and I plan my life in a way that is built on the foundation of one who has survived those circumstances and plan accordingly and live and let live and am not attached to the extent that I can be, and appreciative more because of those things, and moved out of state halfway across the country to a place I know no one because of those experiences and the freaking word, dude. I keep wanting to say what the fuck is that? Sorry. Oh, I cussed. What the heck was that? That was big. Ooh, it gave me chills. Bob's after it. The light came on. Dang it, that was scary. Sorry, friend. I didn't mean to cuss. It scared me. I was deep in it, and then something here in the physical came through in the back. It's probably just a raccoon or a freaking bunny or whatever. Bob's over there, his tail's up. Ooh, okay. Sorry, that scared me. Projection's not the word. Direction, projection. I don't know, friend. Where was I going? Got lost in it. Oh. Well. Just take a moment, Winston. Come back. Hang on. Bob, what was that, huh? There's a little bird chirping all of a sudden, sending us, letting us know, letting everyone know what's up. Startling, huh, Mom? What was that? Did you see it? Okay. Yeah, friend. The energy shifted for a moment there. The trees are breezing. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, some of the in 2014 where I was, it was a very lonely, very lonely, very challenging experience. And very scary. And when we came out the other side, I had this one dream during that time. Very intense dream. I've had a lot of dreams over the years throughout my life of the ocean and great floods and tsunamis. A lot of tsunami dreams over the years. And one of the things that was great with weed was I did not have dreams. And for someone like myself who had had many, many nightmares, it was a relief to not have dreams, to be able to just go to sleep and not have nightmares, right? Sleep through the night, wake up, not remember anything. And but when I did have these dreams, these tsunami dreams, like oftentimes I would be trying to surf, I'd be out in the surf, but and I'd be trying to catch these waves, but I couldn't paddle fast enough because the wave was too big, it was too fast. And then this one particular time in 2014, I had a tsunami dream, and Bradley was like two, and Elena was dying. She was like in a really bad spot. She was in intense pain, incredible pain, excruciating pain every day, all day, every day. And she then was put on these intense painkillers, and they were the strongest drugs that could be given, and they're very addictive and dangerous. And she was just hanging on by a thread, right? Because at a certain point, it's like if one is in pain, intense, crazy pain all day, every day, and it just keeps going and going, and there's no end in sight, at what point do you just say, you know what, like, I'm done, right? You know, and seeing somebody in that state is heartbreaking. And it's like at some point you just got to be okay with letting them go if that's what they choose, right? Supporting them in that. And that's where we were. Excuse me. And I had a 2-year-old. And I was like trying to just keep it all together. And I'm not the one that like manages paying bills or, you know, these 3D timeline type stuff, linear timeline stuff. It's like, I'm the space case, I'm the creative big picture guy, but like to bring it down into the ground level 3D type of Bob, just freaking chill, boy. He's gonna go trigger the darn light again. And he did. It was very hard and scary, and so I had, as a certain, after it had been going on for months and months, and it was like, dude, this is real. Like, I couldn't positive think my way out of it, right? And that was kind of a hard thing to deal with, because I'd gotten pretty good at positive thinking and being able to manipulate my perception of reality and create my own reality and all that good stuff that we talk about, and like so much positive this and that and whatever. And it's like sometimes you just got to acknowledge the reality of things that are beyond your control. One's control, not yours, friend, necessarily, right? And there's this saying in AA where it's like, and I'm going to just paraphrase, but it's like, dear God or whatever, like higher power, thank you for telling me, showing me, forgive me the wisdom to recognize the things that I can change, for letting go of the things that I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that one really resonates with me, because it was like at a certain point I had to recognize, like, this is beyond anything I can do anything about. And this is, you know, I only have so much control, so much power that I can do. And at a certain point, I have to recognize this is beyond my control, and I have to be okay with that, and I have to be preparing for the reality of the aftermath or the circumstances, the effects, the consequences, let's say, of these things, right? And that was a very harsh and scary reality. It's very lonely for a number of reasons. And that, you know, and that changed the course of my life, for reals, friend, for real. And moving to Texas has a lot of layers and a lot of levels to it, and Elena was kind of back in the same space, in a sense, and it put me in a position, there's a lot of levels, put me in a position where it's like, heaven forbid, it gets as dark and deep as it had, and it was well on its way, I have to be prepared to raise two kids on my own, and where do I stand the best odds of doing that in the most positive and healthy environment that I can figure out? And believe it or not, friend, from my perspective, even though I had my family in San Diego, having gone through the experience of 2014 for a full year, the conclusion I came to was that I would be safer and my kids would be safer and healthier if I had to raise them on my own, me, Winston, a single man who has a very good skill sets in certain things and very not good skill sets in other things that are vitally important to 3D living in this planet, on this earth, at this time and day and age. I would perhaps, in all likelihood, stand a better chance of survival and optimal health and wellness for my children moving halfway across the country into a place I've never seen or been before in my life, and starting fresh and new and without a job and going for it. Is that insane? It is what it is. That's the reality I chose. That's what I went for. And here we are. And thank you, goodness, I will say God, for me. Thank you, God, that it has worked out. And it was the best move we could have made. It was pure faith, right? And Elena found a great chiropractor who got her back in place. A great dentist who was able to help her teeth and jaws. Her hand and pains and all that got away. Her other situations all got taken care of in alignment after months and months of other challenges that we won't get into here, but it is, but here we are. We're good. We're solid. And it has been a long, intense, crazy ride. And such is life. Yes. All right. It's late. I think I am going to hop in the freaking water here, because I have it, because I did the chemicals today. It is situated, it is ready for me to go, because I have to use the restroom again, because I've been podcasting for I don't know how long, but it's probably been a long time. If you're still here listening, you are amazing. I hope that some of this resonated with you and gives you some kind of something awesome in your life. I'm excited to launch the new website soon and the TV show and just to put out another podcast episode, which I haven't done in a long time. Yeah, so many things. Been talking a long time. You're awesome, friend. I hope that your life is going good right now, wherever you are, whatever time you are in. When you hear this episode, it is the right time for you. And hope that this brings you peace and or happiness and or awesomeness and or clarity and or joy and all the best. Thank you. Namaste. Before I do my cool sign off, I gotta make sure I can actually turn off this episode. Dang, an hour and 23 minutes. I don't know if this is the longest episode I've ever done, but definitely the longest I've done in a very long time. All right, friend, you are awesome. Thank you so much. Take care. And until next time, my friend. be flowing.
Hi friend, do you have a business or a side hustle and you want to appear more professional and give yourself a sense of privacy so you're not always giving out your personal phone number when doing business transactions? Well, check out my friends at Freedom Voice. You can go to findyourflow.com/phone. And this is a company I've personally been using for years, and I really enjoy having a 1-800 number. That's my personal preference. You might choose a local number, but it's great because I get multiple extensions. So I have a different extension for each of my different companies, each of my different brands. If you have people on your team, you could give a different extension to each person on your team. They get their own voicemail, their own mailbox. So really powerful tool and a great way to up your professional game, your business game. So go to findyourflow.com/phone to learn more. And until next time, my friend, be flowing.